right. Well, take your Bibles and join me in turning to Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll be this morning. In the Sunday school hour, it is great to see you. Appreciate you coming out on this Sunday school morning. Of course, the morning service to follow. And this is a meeting that we always look forward to. And we looked ahead with a little bit of uncertainty. It's been that way for all of us in the days to come. Back in North Carolina, things are a little bit different than they are here. And it's true in a lot of different states. But I just want to tell you, the Lord's been teaching me a lot in the last 3 months. He has shown me that I have not arrived by any means or any stretch of the imagination. And if I thought I was really trusting the Lord earlier this year, He's taught me that I need to trust Him more with every passing day. And so there are a lot of lessons, and you know God is working in ways that would blow our minds right now. You say, well, how's He working in me? I have no idea, but I know how great God is. I know how God's worked in me even when I had no clue that I needed to be refined in certain areas and such. And so I hope you'll keep letting the Lord work on you, and I hope this week will be a time where God takes His divine flashlight, shows it on your soul, and you say, you know what, Lord, that's exactly what I need. I need that this week. I'm looking forward to the preaching from Brother Harper and Brother Edwards and the others that will be here. Brother Edwards, we've had on numerous occasions at Ambassador, one of my favorite preachers. God has just used him to preach some very timely messages in my life that it was like a landmark moment. It was like, you know, in the Old Testament when something great happened, God had Israel put a pile of rocks up, and this is a memorial. There's been at least two messages like that with Brother Edwards in my life where I felt like it was a pile of rocks. Now, I know that's not a flattering sermon commendation, but I will tell you what, it meant the world to me, so I'm looking forward to his preaching, Brother Harper and the others as well. You know, as we start this meeting this week, of course, you folks, you know, I guess you're just now getting back into meeting together. In North Carolina, a few weeks ago, we could have drive-in services. This was after seemingly maybe like a month or 2 months of not being able to meet together. We did the online thing. And I think a lot of churches, their ministries will be enhanced in the sense that more offering the online. There are people watching that wouldn't normally come to church that are watching online, but that's no replacement for us to be able to make it. And one thing that I learned during this break was the importance of being together when you can as a church. I remember the first drive-in service that we had. As an evangelist, when all of your meetings are canceled, what do you do? Well, you go to church. You know, you go to church all you can. And Maranatha Baptist Church, we had our first drive-in service, and I will never forget it. And I found myself, as we drove to the service, we parked, and all of a sudden, I found myself acting like a five-year-old kid. I mean, I look out the window, and I'm doing this. And you know, after doing that, it just reminded me, in the early church, you found that the early church was filled with doctrine and fellowship. And you can't replace that. It's very, very important. I know that there are some that may not be able to come to a service like this because of health issues, and it's certainly to be understood, but I think for all of us, wherever that point is, I hope you realize that you need the fellowship of God's people in your life. And that's one of the strengths of this Jubilee is fellowship. Now some people like Brother Pirro look a lot better with a mask on. It covers up some things. And so I know for all of you it's an inconvenience. There are some of you that are wearing masks because you're very concerned about your health. There are others that are wearing masks because it has been decreed for you to do so. There's a lot of different feelings in here, but you know what? Don't you let that separate you from each other. Because I'm going to tell you, not only is God at work, I'm going to tell you somebody else is at work. The devil. And he's the last one I want to let win. And so I don't know what God has for us this week in its entirety. I just know that He's going to put us in the preaching of the Word. The Holy Spirit's going to work in our hearts. We're going to hear the songs of Zion. And let's all be focused on the God of heaven. Let's realize who the enemy is, and let's let God speak to our hearts. And so I'm just glad to be here. It's exciting. Philippians chapter 4. I want to read for you one verse that back in March, God used mightily in my heart. And in the Sunday school hour, with the time that we have, I want to share with you what God shared with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, several years ago, I was about 30 years old. I'll never forget it. I found myself in a state of life where I was drinking huge quantities of water. You know it's bad when you're traveling to a revival meeting and you have to stop to use the restroom or to buy water more than anybody else in the family. It was one of those situations. My wife looked at me and she said, "Honey, you need to go to the doctor." And usually the first response that we husbands have is we look at our wives and we say, "Well, thank you for telling me that. Let's talk about something else." And after a while, I just thought to myself, there is something to this. I'll never forget, I went to the doctor. I was about 30 years old, and he ran a whole battery of tests. And finally, he came to the very last test. It's one of those things where he had run like 455 tests, and I had passed with flying colors. And he said, "Here's the last thing I want to do." He said, "I want to check your blood sugar." And so he pricked my finger, and after he did so, now this was a doctor who did not have good bedside manner. It was the last time I ever saw him. But I'll never forget, after he pricked my finger, he looked at me and he broke some news to me that was shocking. And the way he said it was not very appealing to me. He looked at me and he said, "Well, Mr. Beal," he said, "welcome to the world of diabetes." And to be honest, I didn't know what to think about that. I thought that was a death sentence. And for those of you that may be afflicted with it, listen, it is not. That doesn't mean you can never eat anything sweet again. It does mean you better watch what you eat and you better do what you need to do. And it runs rampant in my family, so I should have known it was coming. Now I'm a very big advocate about getting a health checkup every year. You know, just check the oil in your car once in a while and you don't have to blow the engine, right? Well, the same thing physically speaking, just, you know, doesn't hurt anything. I'm a firm believer in that now. And but, you know, I sure wish, I really do wish there was a cure for diabetes right now. Why? Because I could eat Krispy Kreme donuts and no restriction of quantity if I could find the cure. You know, I wouldn't have to buy insulin or I wouldn't have to buy medication. It would make life a little cheaper, and I sure wish that there would be a cure, but there's not, and maybe there will be in my lifetime. This morning, I want to tell you something about a cure that for something that has afflicted many Christians in the last few months. With uncertainty, with news broadcasts, financial situations changing. I'm going to tell you, there's been something that's been ravaging Christians. You say, "What disease is it?" It's the disease of worry. But I've got some good news for you. There may not be a cure for what I've described to you by way of introduction, but did you know, according to the Bible, there is a cure for worry? And I'm glad there is. Because we human beings are made of, we're but dust. We human beings, we're prone to worry. And so I want to show you the cure for worry that Paul gives us in three very simple ways as we begin this week. The first thing that I want to show you is what I call the reality of worry. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, be anxious for nothing. Don't let any area consume you to where you have worry and you have anxiety. He says, "Be careful for nothing." Now here's my question to you. Why did Paul say that? I'm going to tell you why. Because Christians struggle with it. Just like when I told my kids growing up, stop that. Why? Because they were doing it. This isn't some hypothetical of if you worry, or I know that 99% of Christians don't struggle for this. Let me tell you, Sunday school teachers, long-standing church members, leaders struggle with it. And every once in a while, we've got to be reminded. Be anxious for nothing. You know, these are important days where there are many of you, you've had to make decisions about whose voices are going to be the loudest in your lives right now. Now, you can take whatever media outlet is your favorite. I'm not going to go through all of them. Some are less favorite than others, for sure. But you know what? No, you can even watch what you consider the best media outlet, but if that media outlet is the loudest voice in your life, it'll drive you to despair. There have been literally times I have stepped away from the news. Don't want any news today. No news. There have been times I've stepped away from social media. No, I'm tired of watching people devour each other. I'm tired of seeing these things. And you just step away from it. Why? Because I want God's voice to be the loudest. And sometimes for that to happen, you have to push the other voices to the side. And so I want to ask you this week as we go through, instead of us being consumed with what this authority says, and then this authority contradicts, and then you don't know who to believe, there is a book that we can approach with certainty. And when Paul said, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, he is telling us, listen, this is important, this is from God, don't miss it. Now I want to ask you a question. What is it that we are so prone to worry about? You know, we can talk. I could sit here and for 15 minutes say, be careful for nothing, be careful for nothing, be careful for nothing. But I found that doesn't help us a lot. It'd probably be better for us to talk a little bit about the things that we are being anxious about right now. Why not just let where the rubber meets the road? Jesus told His disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. For what ye shall put on is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I don't know what birds think. When I've watched them fly into glass doors, I've wondered what they're thinking. But I don't think they scour the skies worried. And Jesus said, can we not learn a lesson from these birds? Our Heavenly Father feeds them. How much more are you than them? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Some of you worried about how tall you are. What would you do? Now, I'm not going to say anything. Brother Harper just looked at Brother Pirro, so we'll let that alone. Some of you are worried about how tall you are. If you came into this church and I'm sitting up here and you just come to the edge of the platform and I'm just saying, I want to be 1 foot taller, 1 foot taller, 1 foot taller, 1 foot taller. You guys would be going to pastors saying, why you got this man preaching to us? He's sitting there trying to wish himself. You know what? You'd look at that and you'd say, that's a foolish way to live. And you're exactly right. But listen to me, when we're consumed with worry, the same is true. There's no amount of thought that's going to add a foot to your stature. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not He much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? You know what that passage tells me? When those questions consume my mind, the problem is not God, the problem is me. My lack of faith generates questions. And probably the best thing any of us could do would just be a little honest of the questions that have been generated in our lives the last 3 months. And you know what it'll reveal? It'll not reveal a lack of God's goodness, but it reveals a lack of faith on my part. Paul said, be careful for nothing. And yet there are times where we all worry about whether or not Jesus cares. Just like the disciples in Mark 4. Carest thou not that we perish? It indicated a doubt on their part as to whether or not God cared for them. Even in the midst of a dangerous situation. But my friend, if you're a child of God, you can walk out of here without a doubt, knowing that you can cast all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so this morning, I want you to see the reality of worry. I'm going to tell you, worry has crippled and paralyzed Christians in the last few weeks and months. And listen to me, can I say worry has even afflicted preachers? Worry has afflicted church leaders. We begin to set our eyes on the things that are uncertain rather than the things which are certain. Number one, we see the reality of worry. And it may be this week that God wants to directly confront you and grow you in your faith. And you'll little whether you realize it or not, a virus and whatever else is happening, God is using it to strengthen you and to grow you and to draw you closer to Himself. But the second thing I want you to see is the cure from worry when it says, but in everything, now listen, that's pretty exclusive, in everything. If I looked across this room and I said, I'm giving all of you $100, or maybe I should say it this way, I'm giving all of you a $100 bill, just be sure it's paid by the end of the month. You get that? That's you give me instead of I give you. But if I said, I'm giving all of you, listen, I'm covering everybody. I said, everyone, everything. Nobody'd want to be excluded. Paul said, but in everything. That's no stone unturned in your life. I mean the things that you don't even like talking about with other people. In everything. Those hidden fears, those hidden places, those uncertain areas. He says, but in everything, what is the cure for worry? By prayer and supplication. Have some of you had a little more time on your hands the last few months? I'll tell you one of the areas I've had time on my hands, it's called home improvement. In order to do home improvement, you have to go to the place where you buy home improvement materials. Down in our particular city, it's Lowe's. Some of you maybe have Home Depot. I don't know what you have up here, but we have Lowe's. And I remember walking in the store on a Saturday, and it was packed. The only way I could social distance was to buy a 12-foot plank board and carry it. And that's what I did because that's what I was fixing. I was fixing the deck. And so I'm just standing in line. We're moving up 6 feet at a time. And I get down to the gentleman. I said, sir, I got a question to ask you. How busy are y'all? He said, last Saturday was the busiest Saturday in the history of our store. I said, I'm not surprised. You know why there were a lot of people? There were a lot of people in Lowe's because they've had some time on their hands and a stimulus check probably. But you know, one of my biggest fears is we've come through a few months and we've had a lot of physical activity, but maybe we've had less spiritual activity. One of my fears is we get to a point where we're so lulled to the fact that, hey, I can go to church at home. You know what? Not as God intended it. And our spiritual activity begins to wane, but I'll tell you, there's some people, they're crippled and they're paralyzed because they're praying no more today than they were 3 months ago. In everything, by prayer and supplication. You say, I want to escape this worry. Then get on your knees. You say, I want to escape this fear. Well, I'll tell you, we have to come to God. And we can't blame busyness. We can't blame all of these things that we typically do that pull our attention. I mean, there's no sports. Listen, it's bad when you can watch curling on ESPN. But I will tell you what, and I've been an avid sports fan, but I've learned I can go 3 months without sports. But I can't afford to go 3 months and wander out in the wilderness and not be talking to God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, but watch this, with thanksgiving. I'll tell you what, I'm convinced that a lot in this country would change, not just in our churches, but in society in general, if people's hearts were filled with thanksgiving. My daughter and I, we were in Washington, D.C. on Friday night. We decided to make a trip there. I'd take her through the National Mall. We went to the World War II Memorial, and as I read those quotes, you know what it was? It was expressing thanks. And I'll tell you what, if everybody got a good dose of thanksgiving, it would cut down on some things. You say, are we saying we have no problems in America? No, I'm not saying we don't have any problems. I'm telling you, if you want to see them, just turn on the television set. But to ignore every good thing that's ever taken place is foolish. But you know what? As Christians, you know why we're so paralyzed sometimes with worry? Because our hearts are void of thanksgiving. You know, in our small town, one of the brothers is deceased now, but there were two brothers. You could never get them in the same room at the same time. You couldn't do it. I mean, I remember there was some paperwork years ago at the college that we had to have signed, and because they were in the same family and it was a joint trust, they both had to sign it, but you wouldn't get them in the same room. I'll come in when he comes out. But I'm going to tell you, there's two things you can't have in the same room. You know what that is? Worry and thanksgiving. The moment thanksgiving starts walking in, worry has to get out. So let this week, we talk about Jubilee. It ought to be a time of celebration. It ought to be a time of thanksgiving. And if it is, our worries will flee away. It says, with praise, with thanksgiving, and then it goes on to say, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, I just want to illustrate this for you. Let your requests be made known unto God. When's the last time you just asked God for something? You know, there have been times where I've asked God for things that were seemingly trivial. To you, it'd be trivial. I remember one day I was walking down the road and I had a neighbor who had a mean dog. And that dog, every time you came by, he'd come right up to you and make you think that he was going to bite your legs off. And I'd had a frustrating day. I remember walking down the road, and I just remember I breathed a prayer to God. I said, Lord, I certainly don't want to hear that dog tonight. Could you just shut him up? Honestly. You say, I don't pray about that stuff. Well, that's okay. You keep praying for whatever high and lofty things you're praying for, but I'm going to ask God for little things too. And I'll never forget it that day as I walked by that man's house. I still remember that dog. He was standing under a pole where there was a light. It was nighttime. And instead of making 1 inch of progress towards me, he just looked at me like this. If I had spiritual vision, I would dare say it was angels that were holding his head, twisting him, saying, no, you're not going. No, you're not going. But I'm going to tell you, when I walked to the house that night, I'll tell you, I was reminded of the fact that I can let my requests be made known unto God. And they may seem little to you, but they're important to Him. I've just found it's like a release valve when I well up with worry and anxiety. When I let my requests be made known to God, a great thing happens. You say, what's that? Well, that's the last thing we find. It's what I call freedom from worry. Notice verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be free from worry. When I was, my boys were younger, they would say, all right, Dad, tie me up. Let me see if I can get out of it. And so, you know, I'd tie them up, and it sort of amazed me how they would, you know, get out of it. But then I said, all right, and I can still remember a few instances where I tied them up and they couldn't get out. And all of a sudden, seeing that look of those eyes open up, like, okay, just let me out now. I said, oh, you said you could get out. I know I said I can get out, but I can't get out. Now I'm done with this. Please take this off. And I did. But I still remember the look in their eyes. Why? Because they were bound. But you know, the very moment that those ropes were released, all of a sudden those shoulders sagged a little bit and the urgency was gone and they were at rest. It's a wonderful thing when God's children get unbound from worry and all of a sudden the peace of God, which passes all understanding, listen to me, is not just ruling in their hearts but their minds. You remember what I told you about being careful what's the loudest voice in your life? Isn't the mind a real battlefield for us? You say, well, it's not for me. You're a liar. I may not can see your mouth with that mask, but I'll tell you, if you say, oh, I don't really have any struggle. I haven't had any mental struggles in the last 3 months. It's because you don't have a mind. But you know what's wonderful is when you let your requests be made known unto God, when you go to God with prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, you know what freedom comes? The peace of God. Oh. And what does it do? It passes all understanding. And you know what it does? It keeps our hearts and our minds. I'm going to tell you, I need my heart and my mind kept. And I want it to be kept by the right person. So what am I asking you to do this week? Well, I'm not doing it in a flippant manner, but I'm just asking you, let's just don't worry and let God work. You say, I've got some legitimate concerns. We all have concerns, but listen to me, if the voice of the media and the voice of everything else becomes the loudest voice, we're going to miss the greatest voice this week. You know how I want you to leave? I don't want you to leave bound up. I want you to leave with a freedom in your heart where the peace of God is ruling, where the peace of God is keeping your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? When the world sees what Jesus is doing in us, hopefully they'll want Him themselves. So may the Lord bless us and help us this week. Let's close in prayer.